248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. At least 79 people have died across the country as a result of winter storms the past couple weeks. More are on the way this weekend. CBS News correspondent Christina Ruffini reports.
Dangerous temperatures are also prompting rescues.
Just stay right on your belly.
In Michigan, body camera video captured a state police officer risking his life to rescue a 65-year-old man who fell through a frozen lake on Thursday. Even the victim's dog, Ruby, helped get him out.
Police who responded to the Uvalde, Texas school shooting could face criminal charges. CBS News evening news anchor Nora O'Donnell.
The grand jury will consider possible criminal charges against police officers over their failed response to the school shooting at Robb Elementary that left 19 students and two teachers dead, according to multiple local reports. And this comes one day after the Justice Department released a scathing review detailing the critical failures of 376 officers who waited more than an hour to take action against the gunman.
Actor Alec Baldwin again faces an involuntary manslaughter charge for the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins on his movie set. CBS's Dina Demetrius.
Hutchins died after the reproduction long Colt 45 revolver Baldwin was holding went off during a rehearsal. Director Joel Souza was also shot and injured.
It should have been a cold gun with no rounds inside.
The gun was not supposed to contain live ammunition. Baldwin insisted to investigators he never pulled the trigger and was not responsible for Hutchins' death. On Friday, Baldwin's lawyers said in a statement that, quote, we look forward to our day in court.
Distressing news in the sports media world.
Sports Illustrated reportedly laid off most, maybe all, of its staff on Friday. The move comes after the magazine's owner terminated its licensing agreement to publish. Sports Illustrated has been around for nearly 70 years, starting as a weekly publication before going biweekly in 2018 and then monthly in 2020.
Erica Hershkowitz reporting. The academic world is considering how to best utilize artificial intelligence. Correspondent Elaine Cobb has more.
Artificial intelligence is fast becoming one of the most popular choices for short study courses. Universities and specialized schools say there's huge demand and are all laying on courses in how to build AI, how to improve it, or just how to use it intelligently.
The former chair of the Florida Republican Party, Christian Ziegler, won't face a charge of rape, but could be charged with video voyeurism for allegedly recording a sexual encounter without permission. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. There's new grant money to encourage schools and farmers in Wisconsin to develop farm-to-table collaborations. Mike Moan reports.
Starting February 1st, Wisconsin will be one of four states in the Great Lakes region to accept grant applications from community partners developing plans for getting more locally grown foods into school cafeterias. The funding comes from the USDA, and the Lake Michigan School Food System Innovation Hub is facilitating the effort. Dahi Wolf of the statewide group Kids Forward says the primary mission is simple.
We want local, healthy school food that kids love to eat.
Kids Forward is a member of the Innovation Hub and is helping leading Wisconsin's rollout of the grant initiative. Wolf says having healthier options might enhance student outcomes while also getting more culturally appropriate options in diverse school districts. He says a key challenge is that the National School Lunch Program is restrictive in providing reimbursements for the types of food that are served. Wolf points to efforts in Stevens Point to serve Hmong cuisine to high school students. That's led to discussions to seek more federal exceptions. Meanwhile, he says enhancing the farm-to-school pipeline could be a big plus in a state like Wisconsin.
We're not like Iowa that's mostly a commodity state with corn. I mean, we have local growers, and so we have all this opportunity to connect local communities to the producers.
He says this benefits local economies. Wolf says Wisconsin will prioritize gathering feedback from students so they're clear about the food they want to eat. The grants range from $10,000 to $250,000. The overall program is designed to last for 5 years. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight, a low near 5 below, wind chills to 20 below. Sunshine for tomorrow, a high in the low teens. A mix of sun and clouds, a little warmer Sunday, upper teens and breezy, mostly cloudy and up to the low 30s Monday. Right now it's 1.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Matinair on air. So happy to have you along. Jane Matinair coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. Greg Bach, funny Greg Bach, is on the board this morning.
I'm so funny.
He is so funny. And we're delighted to have a special guest in studio for the next hour, my colleague and the host of his own program here on the Civic Media Radio Network, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for sticking around.
And I'm not funny, but Greg Bach is. So.
Good morning, Jay.
And don't you forget it.
We're all funny in our own way.
Yes.
Again, we've talked briefly once before, Pat, but I think you, along with Todd Albaugh, have an interesting perspective to share because you actually served in the Wisconsin legislature. Mm-hmm. So you have seen things up close and personal and have a better idea of how things work. Or shall we say lately, do not work.
Right.
What is your background? I know you had a long history in television, first of all.
Well, let's talk about that midlife crisis. For some people, it's an expensive divorce or an expensive car. For me, it was an expensive jaunt into politics. I was serving as the evening anchor at Channel 13 in Eau Claire. I'd been doing that for many years, coming up on a decade. Everybody knew me. I thought I was pretty well liked, but I just felt a need to do something different. And as soon as you declare as either a Democrat or a Republican, 50% of the people immediately said, I knew I never liked that guy.
There's a reason I never liked his news delivery. I knew it.
That's it. And so I decided that after the 2004 election cycle. You recall John Kerry and the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
Yes.
And everything. And I had a bit of a crisis that winter. I said, I don't think I can keep looking at the camera night after night and pretending that both sides are equal. They're not. And I just want so badly to come out of some of these stories and look right into the camera and say, you know, they're lying about that, right? But you couldn't really fact check to the degree that you would like to, which sometimes is subtle but effective.
Yes.
And instead, I thought, well, maybe I can make more of a difference running for office. And so I challenged my incumbent state senator and won in 2006, served for a four-year term, was bounced in 2010 when Scott Walker and Act 10 and everything else came after that. Ran for Congress in 2012 against Sean Duffy. When we talk about all these gerrymandered maps and things, I'm proud to tell people every chance I get that the congressional maps are as gerrymandered as they are because of me. They had to completely reconfigure the 7th District to protect Sean Duffy, because he was only a freshman at the time. And had I challenged him under the old district lines, he would not have won re-election. But by the way, they moved counties around and in quite a dramatic way in some spots. He was able to protect his majority and hold on to that seat that Tom Tiffany now holds. Then I moved away for a little while, lived on a Caribbean island, and then came back. And after a couple of other fits and starts, the opportunity to start Up North News came around. I've been doing that for 4 years. And then a little over a year ago came the opportunity to take that Up North News product and carry it on to morning radio. That's what's kept me on civic media at 6 a.m. for the past year or so.
Do you like those early mornings?
I do.
I do.
I didn't when I was a young, new broadcaster working in Rice Lake and then in West Bend at WBKV. Those early hours were really hard. But as you can guess, for men of a certain age, like I say all the time, I'm getting up that early anyway. So
if
I'm getting up to pee, I may as well just go ahead and get ready for work and get a paycheck out of it. And yeah, it fits very naturally right now. I do enjoy it.
What I think is so interesting with what you just said, Pat, is I don't know that people ever think about this, but people who are news anchors who are delivering this information to you do exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. When you're reading this copy sometimes and you're saying, okay, this is accurate, but it is not all encompassing.
It is not as truthful as it could be.
As it could be. Mm-hmm. If it was a little deeper, if it was a little longer. And I think that peak of conscience speaks very highly of you.
And I think, again, media has changed in so many ways since back in 2004 that, especially on cable, but to another degree in other places, you do see people, news anchors, others being able to say just a bit more that is not editorializing, but is being a bit more truthful. As an example, you'll listen to mainstream news reports now speak quite matter-of-factly about the fact that our legislative maps are gerrymandered. Now, back in 2011, when the maps were first drawn, we tried telling news stations like this is bad. Criminal. This is bad. And they're like, well, we can't say that. That would look like we're judging the maps. Well, time has proven us right, but only now in their own vocabulary can they recognize what we knew from the get-go.
And it's frustrating, and it must frustrate you to know, and to see some of the big anchors, the ones on CNN and MSNBC and on Meet the Press, allow people to come on and never fact-check them. And, they say blatant falsehoods that anyone who's even paying a modicum of attention could say, you know what, that what you just said was a lie, and they let them get away with it.
Especially when you think you know the reporter better than that. Like Kristen Welker on Meet the Press has had a couple of instances already where I thought for sure she would stop somebody right there and say, I'm sorry, you know that that's not true. They don't abort babies after they're born.
Thank you.
In one particular example, and they don't. And it's for whatever reason, they don't want to lose their access or what. I don't know. It's so disappointing.
I think they are doing a disservice to their profession when you don't take advantage of that. And yeah, I understand the access and you want to be able to get the big interviews, but you're compromising your own integrity.
I've said several times on my show, and I'll say again that while people, our default is that live is best. So if you can have a senator live, that's a good thing. I would contend that's no longer the case. And that if I were doing a show at a national level, I would let other people do the live interviews. And mine would be essentially the post-game show. Think of all those weekend shows that local stations do on the Packer game. You're not showing the Packer game live. You're playing back the tape and breaking it down.
Yes.
I would do just an all-tape show saying, well, now here was Ron Johnson on Fox News on Thursday. And here was, here was Congressman Gallagher, on MSNBC on Friday or whatever, and break it down. And I think a show like that could do extremely well. If Tim Russert were still around.
Oh.
Now, nobody was better at live, but can you imagine him breaking down tape like that every week?
He would be brilliant. And it has been disappointing to see some of the people who have followed him and what they are now letting slide.
Oh, yes.
But what are you going to do? I guess all we can do is do what we can on our end.
I think that's where you have from civic media at a smaller level to some of these places at the larger level, although CNN just got rid of, reliable sources and all of that. We need more of that. We need, ombudsmen, at these newspapers. And I think we should never stop pushing all of these outlets to do better because nobody's perfect anyway. So they should welcome a little bit of oversight to help them make their product better and more palatable to a larger audience.
And we preach about this all the time, just about the importance of local newspapers. They're critical. They truly are critical purveyors of what's happening. If you want to know, what are we going to do if if no one's covering the school board, if no one's covering the common council meetings, that's how things can slide.
Especially people with credibility, as opposed to what we're seeing this week in Baltimore, where the new owner of the Baltimore Sun basically said as much, I'm a big business guy. You guys should be more like, you know, either Fox News or however he put it. I mean, just again, it's all about making money and eyeballs rather than, you know, holding people to account.
Yes.
You know, and just speaking, you know, speaking truth. It's just unconscionable what they're doing when you consider how important a source can be. And frankly, to bring it back to Up North News for a second, it reminds me that in this day and age, I think it's more important than ever that all media sources, newspapers, digital, otherwise, tell you exactly where they're coming from. And if you go to upnorthnewswi.com and you go to the About Us page, you're going to see that we love Wisconsin, but we're covering it with this set of values. For example, we feel like anybody threatening democracy, you know, should be called out, et cetera, et cetera. The reason we do that is that other places don't tell you their values. And so let's say people read the Baltimore Sun a year from now after that new owner is taken over. Some people will not know the biases that come into that. They won't know the values. And I know people, I have hired reporters who came from small newspapers where the audience was getting a skewed version of news, but they didn't know it. They didn't know it was because of the publisher's preferences or the whims of an advertiser or anything like that. I think that all these places should put those values up and then just be fact-based. Be fact-based and values-based. And it's like the conversations I still have in Chippewa Falls, where anybody of any political stripe can come up and say, hey, Pat, what's the deal with such and such? And they know that they may not agree with everything I say, but they know I will never lie to them about
it's going
to
be accurate.
It's going to be respectful. Exactly.
I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. I'm glad Civic Media's, glad Sage has created this and Courier Newsroom with Up North News to allow all these kinds of conversations to continue.
Just a reminder as well, you can always download the Civic Media app that gives you access to all of our shows across all of our stations all over Wisconsin. So, Greg, you just go to your favorite app place and download the Civic Media app. And what is one of the best things about our Civic Media app?
It's free.
It is free. And you can call and you can text directly from the app, which is a very snappy feature.
And it's got nice colors, too.
It does have nice colors. 844-967-2789 if you ever want to call and or text. Or if you'd like to leave a comment on the live stream, if you're watching us on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. When we return, these are the days of our assembly. The soap opera continues. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. We're coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Grown Radio, WFHR.
Children are the greatest joy and our best hope for a better future. Friends, they are the future. But did you know that millions of kids right here in our own backyard are facing hunger every day? Without healthy food, it's harder to grow, to thrive, to feel their best.
The impact when children don't have enough to eat is tremendous, because when you're hungry and your basic needs aren't being met, you cannot learn.
Every child deserves to be fed. This is a problem we know how to solve. Food is not just food. It's energy, health, confidence, hope, and even love. Yes, love.
Breakfast in the classroom contributes to kids being more focused, which leads to higher grades and simply just their well-being.
Thank you!
Learn more about how No Kid Hungry is helping end child hunger in America at helpnokidhungry.org.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.
Welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach is on the board and joining us live in our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio, one of our colleagues. You can hear him across the network from 6 to 8 a.m. in the morning from Monday through Friday. A reminder as well, if you're a big music fan, Lou Regani's Music of the Stars, hand-selected playlists from his incredible collection of recorded music. You can catch Music of the Stars, if you're music fans, every Sunday from 7 a.m. to noon across the Civic Media Radio Network. As you may have noticed with the soap opera music that Greg Bach pulled for us, yes, these are the days of our assembly. Pat's article yesterday in Wisconsin Public Radio from Anya von Wachtendorf. Donk. I hope I didn't destroy that too badly. Talking about what's going on in the Wisconsin Assembly, it's interesting. It's the Whoop Whoop Boing Caucus.
Oh, it's such a soap opera, and not even a very good one. When I heard the theme just now, it took me back to when I would produce the new news. Judy Clark, my co-anchor, was the anchor at noon. And then at 12:30, everything at the TV station would stop because we were an NBC affiliate. Oh, and everybody would grab their little bag lunches or fast food or whatever. And everybody would sit in the newsroom and look at the big monitor and watch Days of Our Lives. Because you want to know what was happening with Marlena or all the other characters there. Oh, it takes me back. And it was way more interesting and funny than what we're subjected to now in that big dome in Madison under the big top. It's a soap opera that shouldn't be, because again, not to sound too high and mighty, but some of us still believe in public service. And yet there's so many other people that just consider this performance art.
Yes.
And that's what we're seeing right now.
It's a game. It's just a game. Mm-hmm. A small block of Assembly Republicans, of course, authored this resolution to try and get rid of Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Administrator Megan Wolf. That came up again yesterday with one member of the bloc calling for the resignation of the Speaker pro tempore, Kevin Peterson. You'll remember Janelle Branchon, the Republican from Menomonee Falls, who was a big backer of the widely debunked claims of election fraud in Wisconsin that also, just as a reminder, cost taxpayers $2 million, which found nothing. She rose repeatedly yesterday during standard business trying to move forward this resolution to impeach Wolf. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss was in last week he did an interview and he said essentially that's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. There was a very small window where, there was an opportunity to impeach Justice Protasiewicz. There was no window whatsoever to impeach Megan Wolf because, again, she did nothing wrong. They've come up with nothing substantive about 2020. So it is all performance art at this point. And like any other political cause that goes past its expiration date, and starts to smell, there are people within her own ranks now that are saying, get over it, move on. And there are few things more embarrassing than if you're a state legislator, somebody in your own caucus who just will not stop beating a dead horse, forgive the analogy. And it makes the rest of you look bad. And look, I don't agree with, so much of what the Republican caucus does, but that doesn't mean that you have to allow this kind of a performance to go on. I do kind of feel bad for them that way. It is a crisis of their own making, but I still feel bad that they've got this one person who just won't let go.
And well, she's making money on it somewhere.
Yeah.
She's getting something
or
out of this.
Or fame or attention or whatever it is. But what it isn't is it isn't dealing with any of the real problems Wisconsinites have, the challenges before us, the opportunities. Look, even if you just want to do Republican orthodoxy, if you want to spend all that time saying, we got to cut more taxes, we got to make the tax code flatter, which we definitely do not, but at least that has some credibility to it, as opposed to continuing to lie about election results.
Branchon was ruled out of order and then not recognized for the rest of the afternoon. Talking to reporters, Assembly Majority Leader Tyler August, a Republican from Lake Geneva, called her efforts, quote, a big show for the cameras, unquote.
It is. And having served briefly as president pro tem of the Senate, it's no fun to be up there with the gavel and have one person want to make it about themselves. You are constantly invoking this rule or subjecting yourself to, you know, appealing the chair and all of that. And while it all is part of an orderly process, it is, again, taking time away from what a legislator's job should be about.
Actually doing something on behalf of their constituents.
Doing something.
That kind of used to be it.
Yeah, it used to be. But what you're not seeing in both Madison and Washington right now is anything substantive on tax relief here. You know, Governor Evers has proposed real middle class tax relief.
Yep.
You're not seeing that. You're not seeing anything substantive on health care, Medicaid expansion, infrastructure, you name it. And again, we still have billions sitting there that Republicans, you know, the word I always use is it's a heist. They want to lift that out, either give it to voucher schools or give it to tax cuts to millionaires. And that's where we want to try to keep our focus, not in the other games that they're trying to play.
I still maintain it's Robin Voss's money and we just get to live here.
Right now.
It's Robin Voss's $4 billion and he knows how that money should be best spent. And that's just the way it's going to be.
It is until the maps change, until there's a legislature that's more responsive, that has more competitive races. This continues to be the legacy. This is the Tea Party legacy of 2010, is the extreme nature of these maps, which led to the extreme nature of this legislature.
We have Lisa from Oconomowoc on the line. Lisa, we just have a couple of minutes left. Thank you for joining us. What did you want to say?
Yes, hello. Hopefully you can hear me. Two things. So I invite two things. One is to go to Janelle Branchon's Facebook page and comment on her ridiculousness. And secondly, I would encourage anyone to run against her in Menominee Falls. Please.
Lisa, what are you doing? Maybe I know you're in Oconomowoc. Have you ever thought of moving to the falls?
No, I'm not going to move to the falls, but she is in my county, and she's just one horrible representative, so I sure hope somebody runs against her.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you or some friends of yours find somebody, and you may not like to hear the money end of this thing, but the moment you can get, say, 10 of your friends to all say, we're going to give the first $100 or $500, that candidate's going to say, okay, I'm not starting from zero.
I got something.
They're more likely to say yes and make it a real run.
Thank you so much for calling, Lisa. Really appreciate it. And thank you so very much for listening. Pat is going to stay with us for the rest of the hour. You can always join us as well if you want to call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Party.
Thank you, Greg Bach. When we come back from the news, boy, that was a short honeymoon. Well, it wasn't even really a honeymoon. Mike Johnson, they're not happy with him either. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. Stay close. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
CBS News Brief. Bundle up this weekend. The mercury is again dropping across much of the U.S. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Bitterly cold temperatures once again return to so much of the country. Could see wind chills 20 to even 30 degrees below zero this weekend.
A grand jury has reportedly been convened to review the botched response to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas in 2022. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Charges could include things such as child endangerment. 19 children and two teachers were killed in the Uvalde attack.
A grand jury has indicted Alec Baldwin for involuntary manslaughter in connection with the shooting on the Rust movie set. Loyola Law School professor Jessica Levinson.
We have a different prosecutor. We have a law that absolutely was on the books at the time, as far as all reporting indicates. And we have that additional evidence of the forensics report saying he was, in fact, the one to fire the gun.
CBS News Brief, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It's the Packers and the 49ers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The NFL divisional playoffs, Green Bay against San Francisco again. Few expected Jordan Love to become the quarterback he is this early in his career, 49ers head coach Kyle Shanahan.
He's come a long way because he's playing at such a high level. To get thrown in there early in this year and have to go through some ups and downs, which he did some good things earlier in this year too, but to not win all those games, kind of when you're with a tough record in your first year, the pressure that comes with that, and just to watch him each game, he's been consistent. For him to take care of the ball the way he's done has been unbelievable.
The Packers will face a 49ers defense led by one of the best pass rushers in the league, Nick Bosa. I asked Jordan Love how good of a job has his offensive line been doing.
They've been doing a fantastic job, you know, stepping up to the challenges, going against obviously some pretty good D-lines. So they've stepped up, kept me clean, and been doing a great job of that. And obviously our run game is excellent and high level right now. So it's another test, but can't say enough. They've been doing a great job.
That's Packers quarterback Jordan Love. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Celebrating 75 years.
We got something going here in Madison.
On the ice.
Shoots and scores again.
Against the boards.
He hangs on.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Partly cloudy and cold tonight. A low near 5 below. Wind chills to 20 below. Sunshine for tomorrow. A high in the low teens. A mix of sun and clouds. A little warmer Sunday. Upper teens and breezy. Mostly cloudy and up to the low 30s Monday. Right now it's 1.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy with free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Smiles are powerful. They spread joy, laughter, and hope. But not everyone gets a fair chance at a smile. Every 3 minutes, a baby is born with a cleft, making it difficult to talk, hear, eat, and even breathe. In America, most children with clefts receive immediate care, but others around the world may never have access to the surgery they need to thrive. Smile Train is changing that. As the world's largest cleft charity, our sustainable model has sponsored more than 1.5 million smiles. We offer training and financial support to local medical professionals so they can provide life-changing surgery and other essential services at no cost to families.
It's more than to see these children, to hear the difference that we make. And for me, being born with a cleft lip and palate, knowing what they went through is so life-changing for me.
Help us change the world one smile at a time. To learn more, visit smiletrain.org/learn.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Oh,
morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, the hilarious Greg Bach, and our colleague from Up North News, Wisconsin, Pat Kreitlow, all coming to you live from our studio in beautiful downtown Waukesha. You can always join us, call or text at 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, or leave a message on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Coming up at 11 o'clock, another colleague going to be joining us live in studio, the incomparable Maggie Dawn, who has a show from 6 to 7 across the Civic Media Network at night.
Jane, this is like Jane Matinair and the Civic Media All-Stars.
Civic Stars.
And her stable of Civic Media All-Stars.
I know. I got to spend a lot of time with Todd Alba yesterday in Milwaukee at that education conference.
That was a great show, by the way.
Yeah.
He did a fantastic job. It was nice to just kind of tag along on that, hear all kinds of wonderful remarks from people across education circles who are big fans of all the Civic Media shows. It was very nice.
Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Unsolicited praise is always a lovely thing.
Oh, for all of us. Greg, you've been called funny at 10:06. You were called hilarious at 10:34. I don't know how we just can't keep building this up.
Just call me for dinner, Pat. That's all I ask.
Okay. That's all you get.
The reason Maggie's going to be joining us, I want to do a segment called So You Want to Be a Lawyer. I've been watching and reading about quite a few court proceedings involving the former president, and Alina Haba is one of his lawyers who has been with him for his defamation case against E. Jean Carroll in New York City. And this, I've thought about this many, many times over the years, and I have no doubt that becoming a lawyer is a very difficult thing, and you need to have certain skills or a brain that works a certain way. But then I see someone like Ms. Haba and some of our other senators in Washington who are lawyers. And I have to think, God, is it really that hard? If these people can pass the bar exam, how hard can it be?
It's they used to joke when my wife was attending the Medical College of Wisconsin here in Tulsa many years ago. What do they call the person who graduates at the bottom of their med school class? Doctor. Still a doctor.
It's still a doctor.
But somebody graduates last in that class when it happens. And same with lawyers. I mean, they're not all Elwood from Legally Blonde, but, you know, they're also not all Supreme Court justices.
Solid reference.
Thank you.
Sometimes I just sit there with my mouth agape when I'm reading or watching this. It's like, how is this possible?
Well, think how many he has gone through. How many lawyers who at some point thought this was going to be good for their career or that it was going to enrich them, and then they realize he doesn't pay his bills. And after all these years and all these attorneys, I mean, when I hear her sometimes, I can't hear her over the scraping of the bottom of the barrel.
Well, if you have questions, and I mean this quite sincerely, if you want to ask about Maggie a question, you're thinking about considering law, I think she is a wonderful, wonderful resource. So, and Maggie Dawn will be here starting at 11:06 right now. Again, Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio is my guest until 11 o'clock. And we're going to talk about Mike Johnson, Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson. Nothing is going to be easy for him ever.
Well, nor should it be. Here's somebody who, again, was a bit of an opportunist, saying that, look, I don't have the baggage of people who are better known. And so he became this consensus choice, in part because people said, well, he is so far to the right that he will bring Joe Biden and the Senate Democrats to heel, when that's not how it was ever going to work in split government. House Republicans, especially the furthest to the right Republicans, seemed to think that they could just threaten and blackmail everybody else into submission rather than doing what all the rest of us have to do at work when we don't agree with things.
Yes.
We compromise. We have conversations. We negotiate. And the my way or the highway thing doesn't work most of the time. And that's what Mike Johnson's learning as well.
Yeah. Congress did pass a short-term funding extension yesterday, avoiding, at least for now, a government shutdown at the end of the week. The bill now goes on to President Biden to sign it. The Senate voted first to pass it, 77-18. Then the House passed the bill later in the day, 314-108. But as you said, now the House Freedom Caucus is not happy with Mr. Johnson.
They're not, because, again, in this bill, the Republicans split down the middle. Something like 107 Republicans voted for it and 106 Republicans voted against it, or vice versa, meaning that the Republicans have run the House for all of this year, all of 2023, I should say, into 2024, and they can't pass anything without Democratic votes. They can't do anything on their own because they are not one united caucus. They are that ineffective, and yet they still want to turn on each other and depose speakers and continue kicking the can down the road on the budget and have literally nothing to show for it. As you hear, you know, Chip Roy from Texas has made that point repeatedly on the floor, saying, we've done nothing. Like, yeah, you're right. Because you don't want to act like grown-ups.
Well, and they keep writing these ads for the Democratic Party to use.
They do. Yep.
And we did a segment on this a couple of weeks ago. They are the least productive House in history.
They have done nothing and yet continue to collect a paycheck for that honor.
844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, if you would like to call in and or text. Cindy from Appleton joining us. Good morning, Cindy. What do you think about this?
Well, I have a few comments. Not only do they not do anything, but they're getting free lapel pins on top of it all.
Yes.
Anyway.
Solid reference, Cindy.
I am wondering if Mike Johnson and Ron Johnson are related, because the two of them are just two idiot peep in a pod. And I guess my question is, if they're going to just do the short-term budget fix every couple of months, I'm wondering if the Republicans aren't playing this out so that as we get closer to November election, they actually just let the government shut down so that it looks bad to Biden.
I don't think that that's the way they're going to go, because, again, every shutdown has always blown up in the Republicans' face, like Wile E. Coyote in a Roadrunner cartoon.
Yep.
And it would call even more attention to it if it happens during an election year. I think that's why you're hearing so much screaming from the no voters. They realize this might have been the last best chance they had to try to extract concessions from Biden and the Democrats, because they know as we get closer to the election, you know, the stage gets bigger, the stakes get higher, and there gets to be more blame for shutting down the government. But they want to do these extreme things with the border and with immigration, and they know they can't do that. They don't have the votes for it. There are the votes there in the Senate right now for some substantive border control.
Yes.
And Ukraine.
Yes.
But Ron Johnson, Mike Johnson, and others are saying, "Yet, I mean, no, they're not, they're not echoing Putin talking points at all." No,
solid reference, Pat.
Thank you. And so they want so badly to have something without being able to do the work through negotiation and give and take to get things done. They have been handed the opportunity for a win-win on this budget and on border and on Ukraine aid, but they won't take yes for an answer, because they want to use the threat of a shutdown. They want to use the threat of scaring people about immigration as political fodder in an election year.
Thank you so much for calling, Cindy, and thank you, as always, for listening. We really, really appreciate it. If you ever want to check in, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. So what about our Wisconsin Republicans? Wisconsin Democrats Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore, among the 207 House Democrats who helped get this CRT through. Just 107 Republicans supported it. And I believe, Mike Gallagher, Tom Tiffany, the only Wisconsin House Republicans in November who opposed the short-term extension. At the time, Tiffany said it's the status quo. Gallagher said Thursday, kicking the can even further down the road and then recessing for another week does nothing but reward bad behavior. Wow, I agree.
So all six of them, all six Republicans, wanted the government to shut down this week, is essentially what they're saying. Why? Because, why am I saying it that way? Because they've offered nothing substantive that could get agreement by Senate Democrats and President Biden. They're sitting here making an issue of the border.
Yes.
But until you're actually willing to do something that could pass all three groups, then you're doing nothing but bloviating and trying to scare voters. And that's what these six are doing right now by not supporting at least something short term that keeps government open and continuing to harp on an issue that you won't do anything about. And let's not forget this. Border and immigration issues were around before Joe Biden. This didn't all happen on day one of the Biden administration.
No.
We've had years, frankly, decades to do something. And so to try to put it on President Biden is you're asking us to believe that we've all forgotten that you've all done a big bunch of nothing during the Trump presidency and all the administrations before that.
Let's see. When Donald Trump was initially elected, they had all three branches, correct?
They did.
They had
2 years to do all kinds of things. And the only substantive thing they did was a tax cut skewed toward millionaires and billionaires that blew a $2 trillion hole in the deficit. That was the one substantive thing that they did. There was jokes about Infrastructure Week. There was promises of a big, beautiful health care plan. But in those 2 years, nothing else came of it.
And a big, beautiful wall.
A big, beautiful wall.
Which Mexico is going to pay for
it. And Mexico's going to pay for it. And no, that none of that happened.
I have a theme song for the wall, by the way. Here we go.
Real quickly, Greg Bach, do we have that clip from Representative Eric Swalwell?
It didn't load up. I'm trying to load it right now. So
Eric Swalwell essentially saying to yesterday, Pat, that they don't want a fix to immigration. They want the fiction.
They want the fiction.
They want this issue to run on to make the Biden administration look bad.
I liked that. They don't want a fix. They want fiction.
They want fiction. Yeah. And they want to get on Fox.
Mm-hmm. And they try so hard to paint with a broad brush that Biden and Democrats want open borders and they don't want to solve. No, actually, they want to solve this too. But it's got to be comprehensive immigration reform, not just building a wall for the sake of building a wall. And again, there have been policies for we go back 10 years now. During the Obama administration, there was such a plan that got 68 votes in the Senate. 68.
Wow.
But the Republicans in the House wouldn't bring it up for a vote. And that's where we've been for these past 10, 11 years, is Republicans unwilling to bring up anything that might actually solve the problem.
Well, because, again, we can't give the other side a win.
Correct.
And that's got to stop. Well, that really should stop. Come on, you guys. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be governing for all.
Supposed to be
of
leaders,
us.
And there's no actual leader on the Republican side right now. There's certainly no leader in the House, and Mitch McConnell is not a leader so much as an obstructionist and strategist. They need a leader of ideas.
And it's also just indicative of and I've always believed that being a member of Congress isn't the easiest gig in the world, because why would they fight so hard to keep it? However, the one exception would be the Speaker of the House,
mm-hmm.
especially if you're a Republican, because we can go back to John Boehner. I know, but say what you will. It never turns out well.
No.
It doesn't seem to turn out well.
No.
And yet,
from Newt Gingrich onward, with that change in tone, that much more confrontational tone, as opposed to what can we actually get done? Between ourselves, you know, it's been a my way or the highway thing ever since, and it has never served them well.
And yet, shockingly, a woman, Nancy Pelosi,
got more done.
Was able to get actual things accomplished.
Than the rest of them combined.
It's shocking.
Oh, yeah, prove it.
All right, stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, along with Pat Kreitlow and Greg Bach, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now my answer is thank you, but no. Look, I've barely begun, I'm hardly through. I was living in ignorant bliss, till I learned I could be more than this. And you know, in a way, I owe it all to you. I thought losing your love was a blow I could never withstand. But look how far I have come without anyone holding my hand. Find my way. The day you broke my heart, you handed me the chance to make a brand new start. You helped me find my way. There's still so much to learn.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
If you don't like who's in there, vote them out. What election day is all about. The biggest gun we've got is called the ballot box. So if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so very much for joining us. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our colleague Pat Kreitlow, coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. You can send a pigeon, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789, or you can leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Maggie Dawn is going to be joining us at 11:06 for a segment we're going to call, So You Want to Be a Lawyer. How hard is it? How do you start? Something that I've thought about. Yeah, I'm 64. Let's go back to law school.
Hey, why not?
Oh, I'd watch that show.
A remake of The Paper Chase.
Yeah, me falling asleep in class is probably what it would be. But anyway, we were talking about the continuing dysfunction in the House of Representatives in our fair U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. And Mike Johnson, knives are out already. He passed a temporary spending resolution, and so now everybody is angry. We were also talking, Pat, before the break, just about Republicans are using the issue of immigration and yet are unwilling to do anything to actually solve it.
Right.
Because they want it as an issue. It's useful.
And it is an issue that has been crying out for a solution, especially here in Wisconsin, where we have labor shortages, where we have, an agriculture industry that would wither up and die.
Yes.
And that was one of the things that shocked and disappointed me most about the exit polling in the Iowa caucuses this week, is that for the people who supported Trump, it was either for the Trump supporters or Republicans overall, immigration was their first or second most important issue. And yet they, too, know the Iowa economy would shrivel up and die if you tried to round everybody up. And yet that's where their focus is on, because they have been essentially trained through right-wing talk radio and politicians talking ceaselessly, trying to scare people that all these, dark-skinned folks are coming up and taking your jobs when we need legal immigration more than ever.
Absolutely.
To fill these jobs, to build this economy, and to give these people shelter, safety, and a chance to raise a family, the same as was done when our great-great-grandparents came over, and people looked down their nose at them too, but at least gave them a little elbow room to start a new life and prove their worth.
And it's interesting that you say that, Pat, because I think, especially you and I are of an age mm-hmm. where we remember this, but I think for younger folks, trust me, when the Irish started coming over, they were not welcome.
No.
The Italians were not welcome.
Right.
In
times of war, the Germans were not welcome.
Seriously. Right? I mean, it just makes my skin crawl, this whole poisoning the blood of our country.
Oh, my gosh.
It's horrifying.
It's the only thing I can say that might be somewhat beneficial is that we're no longer hesitating to use the word racist when something comes out like that. If you're talking about poisoning the blood, that's racism. Call it for what it is. It's just straight up racism. And people, there used to be this knee-jerk reaction, this gag reflex, like, oh, you can't call me that. Well, if that's the kind of language you're using, it either is you're either racist or you're really okay with a degree of racism in our policy here, because you're not basing your position on anything other than these ugly tropes that were brought up in Nazism and other ugly places since then.
Guess what, Pat? Still makes you racist.
Yes, exactly.
Again, going back to the immigration issue and how the Republicans like to use this as a weapon and not actually use it for anything useful, here is Representative Eric Swalwell talking yesterday in the House about this issue.
Just recently on CNN, Jake Tapper asked Speaker Johnson, look, President Biden wants to give you more money at the border. Would you take that? And Speaker Johnson said no. Again, just revealing and saying out loud what we all know, which is that they don't want to solve this problem. They want to use it and exploit it and exploit victims so they have a political narrative. Senate negotiations are taking place right now where, in good faith, Democrats and Republicans are working to try and find more solutions and more resources at the border. And that is dead on arrival here, where Republican colleagues have said out loud, we're never going to support that. That would help the president. They've actually said that. My Democratic colleagues want the fix. MAGA Republicans want the fiction. My Democratic colleagues want the fix. My MAGA colleagues want Fox.
I don't think that's Representative Eric Swalwell. I don't think he's wrong.
No, doing his best channeling of Jesse Jackson with some of his wordplay there. But I want to pick up on one thing he said. He talked about people who are negotiating in good faith. And I do want to say that for all the negative things we've said about people who are frankly just clowns or showing an ugly side of themselves, I just want to remind people that when I served in the legislature and the people I've covered in the legislature and Congress and people I see in Congress today, there are really good people in there. There are good Republicans in there.
Yes.
You know, not nearly as many as I'd like there to be. There are really good Democrats. There's also Democrats. I used to get asked all the time in the legislature, you know, do you guys fight all the time with, you know, across the party line? And I'm like, no, there's a couple of fellow Democrats I'd push in front of a bus before some of the Republicans, because they're nicer people and I can work with them. There are good people in there. We just need to be mindful of who they are and encourage the good ones. And they're not always winning these policy fights, but they're trying. And the day that we assume everybody is bad and everybody is a clown, then we just start circling the drain at that point.
You make an excellent, excellent point, Pat. And the people who are actually trying to do the work and I think trying to compromise are not the folks who are getting all the attention and getting the spotlight on them and appearing on all the TV shows. They're actually, as you said, there are good Republicans. There are good Democrats. There are bad in both.
There will be good bipartisan things that get passed again. It's just that in the meantime, they have to put up with a lot of slings and arrows from people who don't trust them from the other side of the aisle, and people on their own side of the aisle who might be a little bit further to the extreme, who are trying to undercut them and saying, oh, well, you're not progressive enough, or sure, you're not conservative enough. I don't envy them, but I do admire them and want to remind people that they exist.
Well, and if we get new maps, could there's be a whole bunch of different new opportunities for people who are interested in running. This hour has gone so quickly. Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. You can hear him right here on Civic Media every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 a.m. doing the early shift. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jane, so much. This was wonderful.
After the news, Maggie Dawn will be here. So you want to be a lawyer? Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
A bunch of clowns you voted in. Election day is coming round again. If you don't like it now, if it's more than you'll allow, if you don't like who's in there, vote them out.
Locally grown radio, your home for news talk and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.